Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 385. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. How are you going, sir?
Hey, I'm going pretty well after watching SmackDown. That's no joke, man. That was a good show. I haven't been that like happy with a TV like a wrestling TV show in a while. Well, I guess outside of last week's Impact, but that's kind of a one offer. Well, I guess not one offer, but
yeah, it would get kind of old if that. I think if that was the whole product, and
yeah, I could see that.
But as though it is a one, because like when it's just segments, it kind of works pretty well, on, on the show. But like a whole show of it all the time, I think would, it'd get to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't mind, at first I was a little confused because I thought it was going to be like just one movie style edition of Impact, but then they had like in-ring stuff, and then Josh Matthews had to talk and start ruining everything, and I got kind of used to it after a while, but still the best segments, which I guess let's just talk about this first, I guess, but I haven't heard anybody complaining about not the Matt Hardy stuff in general. Well, I guess some of this stuff, because it really, especially the Tag Team Apocalyptico match, it really kind of threw in the face of, like, TNA creative, and then also wrestling logic. And all I read, which is fine, because I don't really care, it's TNA, so, you know, Matt Hardy's TNA is better than anything TNA's put on this year.
100%.
Yeah, so I haven't seen anyone complain, but I'm kind of surprised by it. one thing in particular that I really expected people to complain about, but yet it was just treated like a joke, and that was when Crazy Steve broke some guy's neck and killed him. And I don't know, they didn't really introduce the people that well. I don't know, the one guy just like, he's dead. He goes, oh yeah, he did. And I was like, maybe Crazy Steve just murdered somebody. Like, how do you go back to the Impact Zone after that? Like, you know, it was so weird.
Yeah, every time that anyone said, I'm going to actually kill you, and no one has ever carried through on it until Crazy Steve.
Yeah, and then Abyss gets hit with Janice in the gut, just like Jeff Hardy.
Oh.
So did Abyss just bleed out? Because they had to throw Jeff in the lake of reincarnation to save him.
Oh, I did not see that one.
Oh, dude, that was the best one. That was Deleter Decay. Oh, yeah, that was my favorite one.
I think I did see parts of it.
Okay.
I did see the whole thing, actually.
Well, you know, you're in luck, because they're actually going to release these on Blu-ray and DVD, all of them. Final Deletion, Delete and Decay, and Tag Team Apocalyptico. All of them are going to be put on a Blu-ray or DVD for purchase. Depending on the price point, that may be something I'm interested in getting, especially if they have, like, deleted scenes or extras and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be worth it.
Yeah,
and
well,
I think in
TNA's
pocketbook, that'd be a good idea. So, but no, I don't know, man. At first, I was a little disappointed with it. Then I watched it again, and I'm like, nah, this is pretty fun. This is just as fun as the other stuff.
I wasn't the biggest fan of the tag team match itself. Like, yeah. That probably was my least favorite part. I still honestly can't get over the King Maxwell match. It just cracked my shit up. Like, they kind of, the way they filmed it, just the ridiculous nature of a 2-year-old beating a grown man, no matter how small Spud is in the scheme of wrestling.
Yeah.
That and it being treated as kind of okay that Senior Benjamin stunned.
Just straight up tased him first.
Tased him.
Yeah, that's why I said today, I was like, well, you know, King Maxwell, you know, went over Spud clean. So, but it's funny because that's not going to hurt Spud's character at all because he's a doofus.
Oh.
Which was evidenced by Hornswoggle showing up at the end.
Oh.
As his partner. Like, whenever he kept saying, I've got some big guy, I got some big guy, I guess we were supposed to think it was Ryback.
Oh, yeah, because I did see people throwing that name around, and I'm just like, oh, well, whatever if he feels like doing that, like every other person from the WWE.
Yeah, well, and especially because since he can use the name Ryback, since he legally changed his name, like Warrior did.
I did not, I have not kept up on my Ryback news.
Yeah, well, since there's been one story in the last, well, since he got released.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think his name is Ryback Ryan Reeves or Ryan Ryback Reeves, something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so there's that. But, I mean, so he had that. He had the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh.
Oh.
Time's a bitch, man. Time is a bitch.
Well, that's what hard living does too. I'm getting stuffed up all of a sudden. Jesus Christ!
You're getting. I it was just all the talk about the Rock and Roll Express. It's got you all misty eyed.
Yeah, for the Midnight Express to watch them beat those two idiots all over again. Just in case that wasn't clear, I never liked the Rock and Roll Express. I couldn't stand them. Ugh. Yes, I was a Midnight Express fan. So, you can make fun of me for that.
Well, I'm not going to, because I'm both. Like, I don't know how I came out on that end. Because I think I liked the Midnight Express after they moved on. Maybe there were very few heels that I caught on to the genius of their character as a child.
I don't know. There was just something about them. And I really like Jim Cornette as well. He doesn't really do much now. I know he has a podcast, but as far as in wrestling, he doesn't do much now, so
no.
Don't really follow him that much. But yeah, so and then we had Road Warrior Animals showed up. That was a nice surprise. And like a small nod to the skyscraper matches.
Yeah.
Or scaffold matches, excuse me, not skyscraper matches.
Why did I let that slide? But whatever.
What else did we have? We had Three Counts sort of come back from the dead.
I mean, they did warn us that the happenings in the Lake of Reincarnation that night were going to be the most spectacular yet. So, we got Three Count and we got Hurricane back.
Okay. I obviously we don't know the Hardys personally, but was Shannon Moore busy?
Oh. Like,
he lives around there as far as I remember. And then what the hell's Evan Courageous up to nowadays? Which may be the reason he wasn't either invited or wanted to be a part of it. But, I don't know, it was kind of fun when they all start dancing, so.
Yeah, I kind of had a good laugh. And even the, because that was that thing about that match, is that there were some moments like that genuinely had me laughing. Well, and like Steve breaking somebody's neck.
Yeah.
You're just like, what? But then kind of other parts in between, I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking at first. And then he just went, all right. Oh, Abyss yelling not again when they were getting the fireworks shot at him. Because Abyss is supposed to be this big bad monster. And he like kind of breaks character and starts running. It had a little bit of everything. There's a volcano. Okay.
Oh, the whole that whole news reporter throughout the entire show.
Yes.
And them kind of reporting on the volcano that had spontaneously erupted. Was just one of those things that, again, like you were talking about how it, you know, it was an entire episode, and stuff like that during the bulk of the episode was killing me.
That's apparently a real newscaster.
I do remember hearing that, which so, does make
but
it even funnier.
He was professional as hell, so it made sense. I loved, you know, they only did it for like the artistic quality of it. Because they're wrestling and there's a volcano steaming in the background, like, all right, I've never seen this before. And then it was Crazy Steve, right? Got put in the volcano and it erupted. It shot him back into the ring, all burned up.
Yeah.
Like, so is that the end of Decay? Because I reading Twitter, and it's always the Matt Hardy character, but he's saying, like, Impact Wrestling will never be the same again. So, I mean, am I supposed to think that Crazy Steve is dead and Abyss just bled out? And that's the end of them?
I guess.
I mean, Rosemary's... Okay. this is not a criticism. This is just something I need to point out. Decay is allowed on the Hardy compound. But Rosemary's not because she tried to abduct King Maxwell. Why the hell would she stay home? Like, you're this crazy woman with the two guys who just committed murder, but yet you're gonna just stay away. So it's just strange.
Yeah, I cannot answer that question for you.
Yeah, but if like watching the whole show, that was just the Hardys doing their own thing. And, oh, what? All right. I honestly missed this. What happened with Bobby Lashley and Eddie Edwards?
I'm trying to remember what happened with them, too.
All right. Let me see.
Because I remember them, like, I mean, they showed them fighting out in the compound. And it came to some type of resolution. Like, that's hilarious. That is how little I remember about that storyline.
It was just weird because they start fighting all over the place, and they would just kind of like roll through in some scenes, and then they just cut away from them. So I honestly cannot. I cannot remember what the hell happened.
Yeah, neither can I. But, yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting, too, because they did try to have... they set up stories pretty well for that episode. Like, just talking about who had gotten invited and why they were invited and things like that to be on this show. So I'm trying to think, was it ODB and someone who wrestled?
ODB and is it Sienna?
Oh, Sienna, yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of grown on me, actually.
Yeah, I had heard good things about her coming out of the indies. I'm not sure that I'd actually seen her myself. Yeah, I mean, ODB is at least someone to work with. They really don't have a whole lot to work with there in TNA at the current moment. Or at least they're all kind of at that point where they kind of, well, they need more help than Gail Kim is right now.
Okay, so I'm reading a review of Impact.
Uh-huh.
And it says, Lashley and Edwards still brawling, end up at Matt's front door. And then I just want to read this to reiterate what I said before. The finish came when Jeff gave Crazy Steve the Twist of Fate. He then fell into the volcano and shot up into the sky, landing in the ring. I mean,
yeah, someone had to type that about a professional wrestling match.
This is our second to last show, so maybe we'll find out this week. But no, I thought it was enjoyable. The James Storm thing was kind of funny, but at the same time, if you run in the new gimmick where you're supposed to be these mystery men, and like you attack the Hardys, you attack Eddie Edwards, and all this. And then you get outsmarted because some dummy trucker shows up, gets super kicked, and then pinned. Oh, no, I'm sorry, gets whatever, gets pinned.
Yeah.
I liked his defense. He's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know this guy. And then he super kicks him, which is like the old James Storm. So, if you want a criticism, there's one, I guess. But, again, who cares?
Yeah, it that's one of those details that the ridiculousness of the match just kind of covers it over. Because, yeah, if nothing else, like, yeah, they've had beef with everyone. Well, I mean, because they didn't even show Eddie Kingston or Bram.
Yeah. I almost said Braun. I just got Raw on the mind, I guess.
So, you know, that's one of those things that I'm like, why aren't those other two clowns there? Like, why isn't this group together? Like, why is it only one of them?
It's so when they sell those DVD and Blu-rays, James Storm's getting some of those residuals. That's why. He's like, I'm not making nearly as much money as I expected to make by not staying in NXT for 6 months before I can go to the main roster. Never mind. Anyways,
yeah,
like rooting for James, like cheering or being a fan of James Storm, is kind of like being a fan of Dolph Ziggler. And I'm not a fan of Dolph Ziggler anymore, so
right.
I mean, whatever. it's still depressing.
I thought you were going to go into full transition there into SmackDown.
We can. Final thoughts. Really good stuff again. It's just funny. Well, all right, before we do the transition, though, I saw this on a different, another message board. Is this Matt Hardy stuff, is it actually entertaining, or is it so bad that it becomes entertaining?
See, I've always mentioned my love of schlocky shows like CSI Miami and Hawaii Five-0. I'm not quite sure where that goes, because there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it, in my opinion. Because, like, a lot of shows are kind of as outlandish as those shows, but it doesn't have... doesn't have some umami. It doesn't have that extra soul, like, whatever you want to call it. It's like saying the person has it. Like, when you can't quantify it. They have it, man. It's kind of like that. Like, I always feel like it has some type of a vibe to it. And the Hardy stuff right now, it has some type of a vibe. Like, I feel like I've seen the WWE kind of do Outland. Well, they've never done anything quite this outlandish. I mean,
well, no, remember they tried with New Day and the Wyatts, and that came off just dark and like,
oh,
I don't want to say soulless, but it just,
well,
it was very serious. Where there's at least like a wink, or like some sort of, like you were saying, like schlocky or no carny vibe to these. So.
Yeah, I did forget about that coming right off the heels of the first one. And yeah, that was awful. Because, yeah, they didn't look at the camera and go, okay, we all know that this is ridiculous.
Yeah, because they didn't have a drone flying around. And apparently there's a law in North Carolina. There's a lot of laws that restrict things in this state, I'm starting to find out. But there's a law that a woman can't wrestle a drone. What? Okay. And then I forgot how much of an attitude problem Vanguard 1 has. So that kind of cracked me up. But no, I'm of the ilk that at first I was so shocked by what I was watching, I thought it was bad. And then I just went, you know what? This is different. So I don't know. Then it became kind of good. But I also watch like bad action movies too, which is, I guess kind of goes to your point.
Bad action movies belong on my list. I mean, anyone that says they like Big Trouble in Little China and then freaked out about possibly The Rock being, wasn't it speculated that he was going to be Jack Burton?
Well, I don't see.
Or am I drawing the wrong parallel and we've disagreed
on this before?
No, I remember
Rashid and I talking about this, and it's seeming like The Rock makes 800 movies a year, so who knows when he's actually going to film it. But he started talking about having Kurt Russell in the movie. So I don't know.
Oh,
if Kurt Russell just going to be in it, or if he's actually going to be Jack or not.
It would kind of crack me up if he was old Asian man, but I don't think they'll do. I think Hollywood's having enough problems, but you know, putting at least at his age, it would make sense to put him in that role. But
see, I wouldn't mind if he was Jack and The Rock was his son.
Oh,
yes, it makes no sense, but the movie is all about playing with different tropes. So,
oh yeah, and again, yeah. That movie, like, that's just dumb fun. Like, there is no one that I love that thing, but I'm not gonna try and say that it's as good quality wise as like The Godfather or something like that.
No, but that's always a funny thing. It's always a funny thing to compare movies like that, though. Because,
well, yeah, okay.
I know, like, cinematically, The Godfather is ridiculous. And, like, Big Trouble in Little China, this is the dumbest movie comparison I can think of right now. But, it's like, Godfather was telling the story, just different angles, filters, lens, and all that. Big Trouble in Little China was more so, it was basically a satire on the American action hero, because he thinks he's saving the day the entire movie. He's always in the way.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was the point of it. And with the, for the time, I mean, who's the guy that grew really big? Was that Thunder?
I think
so. Steam came out of his nose?
I think so. Okay.
Yeah, that was Thunder. Yeah, because Raiden had the hat on.
Oh, well, duh.
And who was the other one?
Lightning?
Raiden has lightning.
I actually feel bad that I probably haven't watched that in long enough that I'm kind of unfamiliar with the roles.
Great poster, by the way, too. Anyways, but yeah, let's get into you going to visit Raw. Man.
Yeah, I will have to admit that in some ways I was just trying to avoid this. It was kind of funny with you and Chris talking about the quality of Raw recently. And I can't say I really disagree with the assessment. I think I was a little salty at first, but then it started to make. I'm like, yeah, you know what? There isn't anything that like super annoyed me in these last couple of episodes. So they must be doing something better at least. And I think Roadblock was part of the reason to blame and for a bad episode, because they ended all the feuds. And anytime feuds have to restart, the show always has potential to suck. Just because nothing makes sense, you know, you're not invested in the feuds at all. Weird things happen with the feuds, like Sasha Banks and Nia Jax, when Sasha says, "I don't feel like a boss," and then the heel comes out and bases her whole theory on Sasha being a boss. It's just like, huh, wow, this is kind of terrible.
Like, did you just listen to what she said? She said she doesn't feel like the boss. Oh, and the characters were Thunder, Lightning, and Rain.
Ah.
So. But, I don't know, man. I was watching at home thinking, this show stinks. I mean, it was talking after talking. Did Mick Foley forget where he was? Was that one of the things?
Yeah, he said right here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm like, oh, and then I did kind of have to laugh because it was this morning that I saw a tweet from him, and it says one of these guys in the ring forgot that he was in Columbus, Ohio in this scene or something like that.
Okay, I was wondering what happened there.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, that's hilarious. You know, the higher the profile, the worse the gaffe.
I don't know, man, because what's that opening segment took forever, and then Jericho gets put in a shark cage, and then, which is just one of the plates, which is from the ring I bought my, I bought my nephews for Christmas, the Crash Cage playset.
Oh. Yeah.
And then it went to another thing, and then we had the Sasha, and I don't really mind Nia Jax. You got to start building people up, but like you said, did you not listen?
Yeah, like I'm sure that they can, in the meantime, work out a feud angle. And I guess that's the other kind of point of it. I'm not saying that the feud itself's gonna stink in particular, but the jumping off point was just terrible.
Well, they started this before Survivor Series, and then they all ended up on the same team together, and then Nia Jax disappeared.
Oh,
like this? I think was last night the first night she's been around since Survivor Series. On Raw, at least?
No, she's made a spot appearance here and there. because I feel like
she was... The show I went to, she wasn't on, and she wasn't on last week as well, so...
Oh, maybe it's been a little... Because I thought that she had popped up once recently.
Let's put it this way, if she did, neither of us can remember...
Oh, well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
This is true, too.
I didn't mind that, because it was pretty short, too.
Right.
So, and that was fine. But
the problem was, is that, like you said, like, and I guess I can't remember the exact order, and I haven't pulled that up, and I suppose I could. Since I didn't actually write about this show, I never remember what the order anything happened in.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I can tell you the order. A whole lot of bad. The end. I mean, I wasn't kidding. Like, I'm becoming a big Braun Strowman fan. Yeah, the guy's not the greatest. He's not the most polished. But, God, he's fun to watch.
Well, and you were right. Like, I mean, he's at least acting like you should.
Yeah.
Like, just the fact, because... I mean, it's kind of like Rusev was when he was first getting pushed, where he's just a heel, and he's just whooping on people. And, you know, he knows that he wasted time against Zayn, and fully wasted time with them all together to get to the 10 minutes. So, I mean, freaking out should be the thing that he should be doing.
Yeah. It almost didn't seem like he understood the rules.
Oh.
Because he's like, the only reason he lasts 10 minutes is I let him. And to me, it seemed like Yeah, if I would have known. Because when I watched that match at Roblox, and they said, all right, 10 minutes is up, and they're like, game match is over. I was like, well, I thought that was just a moral victory sort of thing. I thought you still had to win the match. I mean, that's pretty stupid. But I just, it was all the backs to me, and this is me just watching it on TV, so I can't imagine what you guys are doing. I know what your wife was doing, because she decided to message me during it.
Well, you sent the text to me, and you asking yeah. how she was holding up or something,
uh-huh.
and I just showed it to her, and she just was like, yep, that's how bored she was. Like, she's like, fuck it, I'm just going to talk to Jeremy, because yep. I don't have anything better to do right now. The other thing that ended up coming about, it's at some point during the night, she just goes, you're coming alone next time.
What's funny, what cracks me up is, I know we're not going to WrestleMania this year, okay?
Right.
But on the off chance, something awesome happened, and we were like, no, we gotta go now. I told Elise, I was like, that's two duds in a row that Melissa's been to. There ain't no way in hell she's going to WrestleMania.
No, she kind of likes the scale of WrestleMania, I guess, in some ways, just because it's more of a show.
Yes, but after two duds like that, and especially after last night's,
well, she did go.
We haven't gotten to the end of the show yet.
She liked. She did like Money in the Bank that she went to.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot.
But, yeah, you are right. We've had two duds here in between sandwiching Money in the Bank. And they were both, and I didn't get into this too much this morning. They're both at the Schottenstein Center. Speaking of Foley's screw-up, it cracks me up that they keep on advertising it as the Ohio State University, Ohio. And I'm like, Columbus is a lot bigger than just the goddamn university, guys.
Well, yeah.
And then I'm just like, but that cracks me up every time. But, oh my God, the parking just blows. The thing that's nice about it, it's free. The problem, I think I told you, it took us 8 minutes to drive there. It took us 20 minutes to walk from the arena back to our car.
Yeah, I've been to a show with that one with you. When you first moved to Columbus, we went there.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot. Nationwide wasn't finished then.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I enjoyed Nationwide way better. Than that place. But.
Well, and that was the other thing that was interesting. She said that she did like going to the Shot better than Nationwide, but I had a problem, like, they didn't have, like, a Titantron up.
Mm-hmm.
The only replays were, like, almost directly above us, and there were a bunch of lighting rigs and all kinds of other stuff. Because I was looking for him, and then that's when I actually saw the cage, and I'm just like, oh, Jericho's getting put in a cage.
Oh, you didn't notice on the stage setup that they take one of the small TVs or monitors, and they turn it into a TV, so you can see what's going on. That's what they did when I went.
No, they didn't have anything like that.
Oh, that's weird.
They showed replays occasionally on it.
Yeah.
But I didn't see, they didn't consistently have the action up there.
Oh, that's strange.
And that was the other interesting thing. I know that you were down on the floor. I tend to get seats there's the announcer, where the announcer's desk used to be on Raw. I usually get them kind of like diagonally back from them, back in, you know, like the lower bowl area. And, as much as I like those LED ring posts, that takes up a shit ton of viewing.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
I was just like, I'm missing half of this shit just because I can't see around this ring post. Like, there, it's three times wider than an old ring post. Like, it wasn't something that I had thought about before, really. and it's solid, so I mean, even when there was a ring post before, you saw the, you know, it was just, you know, it's just smaller, man.
Well, what's funny is those ring posts are actually the same ring posts. They just have the LED screens on them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, when they put the ring up, they just basically slide around and lock them down. But, yeah. Well, no, but I mean, that makes it even bigger.
Yeah.
I know you can't really fundamentally change the way the ring's set up, but dang.
Yeah, so I'm definitely, when I go by myself, I'm going to definitely try to get myself a little more centered going forward. And speaking of ring changes, that was one of those things that I guess I had never worried about it before or seen. Oh, well, I had just seen them change ropes out before when they were doing main event and then Raw. For the cruiserweights, they just cover the ropes in purple tape.
Yeah.
And then take it back off. I'm just like, oh, huh. So I guess that just kind of caught me. That was one of those production things that caught me by surprise and I thought was kind of interesting, I suppose.
You know, it's funny. I meant to mention that when I was on the show last time because I couldn't believe how much tape they went through.
Oh.
And especially because if they have one cruiserweight match, then they run out and do it all over again if there's a second.
And they did it three times because they had the two main event matches and there was, who beat Kurt? Oh, Goldust got a pretty big pop for beating Curtis Axel.
Why?
That's a good question. That was a question I was asking myself last night and still tonight.
Wait, there was no R-Truth?
He was at ringside.
Oh, okay.
He was helping keep the crowd pumped up.
Ugh.
Yeah, so there was that, and then I think it was still for main event, they had a cruiserweight match. And it was because who did Tony... oh, shit.
Tony Nese wasn't on the main show.
Oh, okay. Then it was Tony Nese and... no, Cedric was on the main show. Who, oh, Lindsay... It was Lindsay Dorado.
Oh, how'd that go?
Pretty good. You know, it's... It's a criticism that'll be true until the WWE... Well, in the WWE, I will admit that they seem to have some talking segments for the cruiserweights this week.
Yeah.
And as talk-heavy as the show was, and it made it pretty monotonous,
yeah.
The cruiserweights did need to do some talking. They've been in desperate need of talking, so, you know, that was one of the better things. You know, that match with Nice and Dorado kind of suffered from the same stuff. Like, people are like, oh, holy shit, when they see what the guys do, but, you know, you don't really know who those two guys are yet.
No, not really. Well, when they introduced them, I remember the one time they said from, was it Lindsay Dorado, he said he was from New Jersey. And then they announced him as being from Puerto Rico, like, 2 minutes later. It's like, okay, you can't even get the basics correct on it. But
well,
now, that was one thing I was wondering, which is why I hit you up. Because Raw was so talk-heavy, or backstage sketches, that, I mean, the Rusev-Big Kaz match, if you want to call it that.
Oh.
And then... It makes no sense because Enzo shoots his mouth off. Enzo gets his ass kicked. So what's he do? My big friend's going to take care of my fights for me? Well, that makes you a little bitch. So automatically, Rusev is the face. And you're bad-mouthing his wife. Well, yeah, you deserve to get your ass kicked. So when he got his ass handed to him at the end, I was like, good, it's what you deserve, jerk off. I'm totally lost on this Big Cass and Enzo stuff. Because Big Cass cannot talk for shit. And Enzo, he doesn't really wrestle all that much either. And they just don't want to let Enzo wrestle anymore. I don't get it. But I don't know why I'm supposed to boo Rusev. Why I'm supposed to dislike what Rusev's doing. On top of the fact that it was all talking, which as a live audience couldn't have made you very happy.
You know, it's kind of funny. There was not any massive revolt amongst the crowd at any point. But the crowd was not as good as it's been for most of the recent shows, and it was because of the show itself.
That's what I was wondering. When you said the crowd didn't revolt, I was like, can silence, you know,
be the revulsion of in and of itself?
Yeah, because it was a dead. And, I mean, it hurt the show. It really did.
Yeah, I mean, it just no one seems to be like. Rollins got a pretty good pop. what's his name? Reigns got a pretty decent one. Honestly, Enzo and Cass, despite that problem that you present, which I don't disagree with. Although I guess really Cass kind of took it upon himself to pick up the fight. But that's kind of nitpicky.
Well, he picked up the fight because Enzo was hurt. But then at Roblox, Enzo comes out with Big Cass perfectly fine. And then tonight, the same thing happens. Or I'm sorry, on Monday, the same thing happens, which I guess he could play off as, well, I got to get my revenge for the other night. So, okay, well, that's fine. But anyways, it's what it is.
Yeah, well, they're still really over.
Yeah, no, despite all that, yeah. Despite seemingly wanting to break them up, the crowd wants them together.
Yeah, so they're kind of stuck in an odd spot, honestly. Because, like I said, they honestly, like, I can't think of anyone that got a better reaction the whole night than them.
Wow, really?
Yeah, wow, like New Day got a really New Day was probably about the same, them and New Day, because Reigns is a little bit split up. Rollins, just people aren't that quite into him. I'm trying to think of who else. People were pretty into Bailey.
That's good. Like, okay, so.
But again, like, just in general, honestly, just not the best crowd.
That's what I was going to ask you, because when I went, I was talking about how the reactions seemingly sounded different in person than they did live. Did you get a chance to watch any of the show?
You know what? I just ended up erasing it.
Okay.
So I did not end up watching any.
Okay, that was just curious, because the reactions live were far, far different than the reactions on TV. So, oh well. But, yeah, I think it came across on TV, because when Seth Rollins came out, the crowd cheered real quick and then kind of went dead, and he was, I mean, I don't know if you could see him, but he was trying to get the crowd up.
Get up. Yeah, I mean, we could still see the stage pretty well in those kind of things. But yeah. Yeah, people just aren't that, you know, he's not getting a bad reaction, but he's not really getting the people behind him. I mean, he's another guy that they haven't really given much of a reason. Like, his main antagonist is Triple H, who hasn't said a word, hasn't done anything, isn't on the active roster. You know, and there hasn't even been, like, a message through Stephanie or anything like that. Like, it's just all kind of like this weird kind of conjecture stuff.
Well, that doesn't help. Currently, Seth Rollins in, like, a mini feud with Chris Jericho, who the crowd continually cheers. I mean, even last night, they brought back putting Santa Claus on the list. And then he also mentioned, I can't remember who it was, but somebody didn't have it. They even brought that back.
Oh.
And the crowd cheered. So it's like, well, how are you supposed to get Seth Rollins over if you got him in there against a guy the crowd doesn't want to boo?
Yeah, kind of reminds me of in a lot of different ways also, but AJ Styles on SmackDown.
Okay, before we go to SmackDown, which would be a fun way to wrap up the show. So, I asked you if you stayed for the whole show.
Oh.
Because I told Elise I would have left early. That show was not good. And I'm like, there's no reason to stay for this one.
You know,
especially with a no stipulations match at the end.
Oh, well, I am disappointed that I get the holiday episode and they did not have a holiday-themed fight and or party. WWE, you did away with the de facto party. Buzz off.
Okay, but...
They have next week.
Well, not really. Christmas is Sunday. I mean, unless they have a late... Well, yeah, I guess. But...
Yeah, they'll have a Boxing Day.
Did you see Braun Strowman attack Sin Cara? Throw him into the packages off the stage? Did you see that on the monitors? Did you actually get to see it live? Did you watch it live?
No, we could. The stage was easy enough to see, actually. Okay. Because it's up higher.
Yeah.
I did get a hoot out of Braun Strowman. I think you had mentioned it. Like, he was the best parts of that show. Him tossing around Sin Cara. Like I said, like, he had, you know, he's kind of a Rusev character. He's a badass who's a heel, but he's only a heel because they want him to be a heel. Like, he's not doing anything illegal. And like you said, like, you kind of felt like he didn't understand the rules. So he might be a little bit of a dummy, but, you know, whatever. Everyone knows that he should have beaten Sami Zayn. So. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But did you see this genius of a man suplex a goddamn Christmas tree last night?
Yes. Yeah,
never seen that before. So, innovative offense coming from Braun Strowman.
I
loved it. I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was really funny. I can't believe anyone's done that before.
How did they describe that on TV? I guess I'm kind of interested, because that's one thing. You know, you never get the announcer experience.
Yeah. You know why this is going to turn out this way, but not. It's just like, oh, Braun Strowman's lost it. He's destroying the set. We need to get someone out here to get Sin Cara. Braun Strowman's mad. It's Mitchell Poole, Byron Saxon, who's... I don't understand why Byron Saxon exists.
Because they have an unnatural need to have three-man booths. Or four-man booths with an awkward Tom Phillips sitting on the end.
Why does he exist? I don't want to get into that part, but I don't know why he's around.
I don't have as big of a problem with him as you do, but I just don't. Like, it, honestly, if he wasn't there, 100% I am not missing him.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, Braun came out, ripped up the stage, and then destroyed Reigns and Rollins at the end.
Oh.
But only half of your crew saw that, right?
Oh. Well, I was kind of wondering, I'm like, man, he seems like he has some specific information on this incident. And I did see people leaving before the main event itself. I did, in fact, try and talk my wife into leaving before the main event because I did not want to be there any longer. I was completely fine with getting home a little bit earlier. Would have had no problems. She decided that it was more fun to take a nap in the middle of Raw, which, again, tells you the excitement level of Raw in general, that someone can just snooze during one of the three...
What was your conversation that you guys had?
One of the three matches, I'm like, hon, you're ready to fall asleep. Do you just want to go home right now? Nah, you can watch your main event. We've waited here this long, and I'm just like, nothing's going to happen during this main event. And then there's just snoring on the other end, and I'm just like, really? Okay, I'll watch the main event. And then everyone pops for Strowman interfering. And, you know, she wakes up because something happened. And we left. We did not know. Because that's when you told me about the whole Jericho and Owens being in the cage.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did. I left there going, oh, it's going to be a standard beatdown. I don't care. Like, I'm just done. I've talked her into leaving. I'm ready to leave. You know, I don't know. I guess Braun Strowman had the everything turned against him at some point.
Yeah, I didn't read what happened. All I saw was Jericho and Owens ended up in the shark cage, and they raised it. So,
yeah.
So yeah, so I guess not a rousing endorsement from the other half there. So
it wasn't a rousing endorsement from me either. I mean, true. That's just, it just happens.
I mean,
You know, you guys were right. Like, there still wasn't anything wrong with the recent Raws, but, oh, and I forgot that you brought up a topic that's good, too. They may as well take off these couple of weeks. Like, the Christmas week and the New Year's week, they never do anything. Like, that was an aspect of it I guess I didn't really think about in general. But, it is true. Like, you know, there's all kinds of tag matches. There's all kinds of holiday-themed matches that don't really mean all that much. Which, again, I was kind of surprised we didn't get, aside from Braun Strowman suplexing a tree.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, this is a good way to get into SmackDown. For Raw, did they even plan anything for next week? Because I don't remember if they did.
Honestly don't remember.
Okay, so, in contrast, and really a contrast of two totally different shows, and if anyone's wondering, why isn't Chris on the show this week? Well, here's the story.
No. I think it should be read in its entirety, because I forgot that there was another aspect. To this, between Styles' injury and them already losing, looking past Detroit in favor of promoting a big show in Chicago next week. I decided they didn't deserve my money. Which is a rant I can go on if I'm needed, if need be tonight. It in no way was needed.
Wait. So, Chris, what do you have to say about this? Oh, that's right. You weren't needed, jackass. You should have gone to the show. Because SmackDown was great this week. SmackDown was everything Raw wasn't. There wasn't a dead segment. There was no bad scripts. There was no awkward commercial breaks in the middle of stuff. Maybe The Miz, Apollo Creed, or Cruz. But everything else on that show was so damn good. They got rid of James Ellsworth, or so we thought, within the first 6 minutes of the show.
Yeah, so much that AJ Styles is at least okay enough to beat the living tar out of James Ellsworth, which, again, just to contrast the crowd reactions, like, everyone wanted Styles to go back and beat up James Ellsworth more.
Yes. And they started chanting, yes, yes. I mean, it was funny because I'll call it a match, okay? But that match was James. There's two things. James Ellsworth misses the no chin music or gets stopped. AJ actually misses the first backhand, like, fist to right. James Ellsworth, and then just elbows him down to the ground. I was kind of hoping for the old King Kong Bundy, you know, just put his foot on the chest.
Oh.
And then, you know, if he would have yelled five, that would have been hilarious. But we kind of got the same thing, though, with him just barely covering him. Gets up. Crowd goes nuts because they're like, yeah, because that's one thing about the Detroit area in general, or like that part of the Michigan, they don't play with that sort of stuff. They saw right through James Ellsberg, like, this is garbage. Get him out of here. Because whenever they try bringing in, like, the new Flavor of the Month, or, like, remember that William Hung guy?
Oh, yes.
They actually had him sing America the Beautiful or the National Anthem.
Oh.
At a Pistons game.
Oh.
He got his ass booed out of there before he could start singing. It's that kind of stuff. Like, you know, like, Philly's always a pretty harsh crowd with other people, but Detroit doesn't want to see garbage acts like that. So that's why if you're watching the Thanksgiving game, you barely hear the crowd because they mute them down. So, but anyways, the crowd set the tone for this show. Whether it was on purpose or not, cheering AJ Styles beating up James Ellsworth, cheering him on as he rams his head into the middle rope? I've never seen that before.
Oh.
And then what was clearly supposed to be some sort of backdrop onto the edge of the table turned into, fuck this guy. It just throws him into the table. I mean, that was brutal. And then he goes back and then half German back suplexes him into the barrier, but his head barely
clears the ground. Yeah. Yeah, it was a harsh beatdown, and Detroit was loving every moment of it. So, like, I saw your text about loving the crowd, and that moment was hilarious. And then I hear the next segment pops up with, and I'm trying to think of what it was.
Yeah, that's one thing. We do. I find somebody's rundown of it. It should be enough time. This is the part where, like, Dave Meltzer and all those sort of guys, they've got all their notes right in front of them.
Oh, that's right, because Ziggler came out.
Ugh, yeah. to cricket.
As much as I don't really enjoy him anymore, I don't think he comes out to crickets.
That reaction wasn't as big as you were. I'm sure they were hoping for. That's for sure.
No, I think people are just starting to realize. I think more of the people are realizing how dead of a doornail Ziggler is at this point.
Yeah. Well, but it's funny though. AJ Styles, you know, true to character, just kind of blew him off.
Oh.
He's like, next week's gonna be a cakewalk. Like, what a little dick. But the crowd didn't, like, go, oh, it was kind of like, yeah, pretty much. It's going to be a cakewalk. And then all of a sudden, yeah. Baron Corbin comes out, and I realize, oh, my God, that's right. Him and Dolph had, like, a 3-month feud.
Right.
They go back and forth. I don't know. What do you think of Corbin here? Like, the talking part, not the match later.
He's still not. I mean, they keep him limited to keep his exposure down. But
yeah,
he's still not that good.
Best. But I kind of like the back and forth. I kind of like what he said, not how he said it.
Oh,
basically just calling Dolph a loser, which
yeah, again,
kind of
like
hard to argue it.
Yeah, like you said, the crowd wasn't like ooh, you know, it's just like yeah. I mean, he won the one match and he cited that example, but he's lost every other match around it.
Well, he brought up, imagine what I'll do for the championship. Well, that's because you had to retire the other day, the other way. You lose this, it's just...
Yeah, right. There is nothing more extreme that you can do than risk your career.
Yeah. So then we get backstage with Ziggler saying he wants Corbin, blah, blah, blah. And his title shot's up for grabs. Then, I forgot to record Tribute to the Troops. So I had no idea Cruz pinned Miz. Was this Apollo Cruz's best showing? I know he lost, but...
You know, you could say that about both Corbin and Apollo Cruz. You know, although that does obviously put the Miz in a kind of a weird spot, too, where he has two feuds going on. Again?
Yeah, well, I guess this was just a mini one. It seemed pretty final at the end.
Oh, well.
You know, Cruz didn't get any, like, sort of comeuppance on him or any of that sort of thing, so.
I guess I just assumed since he still poked the eyes that maybe Cruz would be around. But, I mean, Cruz almost needs a Neville-like reintroduction.
Okay, I mentioned this, and I think we've talked about it on here, I think. What's missing with Apollo Crews? Shahid seems to think it's they don't know how to book him. But if I was doing the fantasy booking, I got no clue what to do with this guy. Other than, what, just let him go out and win matches and talk a little? I really don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like he's had a character at all.
No.
Outside of the fact that, you know, they just tout how good of an athlete he is. He's power, he's speed, he's agility, you know, he's big, but he's not too big. And he is all those things. But that isn't a character.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of what Shelton Benjamin used to be like. You didn't know anything about him. Then he had, what, his mama with him? And then they gave him the blonde hair to try and make him look different. But I just remember, you know, JR always talking about what a great athlete he was. Like, well, big fucking deal. I don't... There's a lot of great athletes in the NFL. I don't know any of them either. So, you know?
Yeah, I mean... And I don't know if Cruz has a personality or not, but I guess I would think that he had some type of character thing going on when he was UHA Nation. you know, on the indies. Like, there's got to be something within that gimmick that he can tap into. Or just, I mean, come on, man. Like, Kevin Owens is just, it's his gimmick still. Like, I don't think he's really changed all that much from ROH.
Nah, not too much. Cleaned up his mouth, I guess, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that I mean, if you count cleaning up your mouth as, like, a big change, like, I don't agree with you.
Well, yeah.
I know that's not you, but...
I said that specifically for a reason. Because after this match, this started the, wow, this is the meanest show of the year segment idea. Renee Young gets in the ring and starts talking to The Miz. Talking about his obsession with Dean Ambrose. Out of nowhere, Miz goes, what about your obsession with Dean What about your obsession with Dean Ambrose? And he goes, you're the one sleeping with him. And my mouth just dropped like, what? What's going on? What? I mean, I guess on the new Total Divas, I saw a commercial. She mentioned she's dating the World Heavyweight Champion. I'm guessing that's when he was champ.
Gotcha.
So I did not expect that. And she just slapped him. And even the announcers were like, JBL included, all stunned, like thinking, what the hell's going on here?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that, and you kind of pointed two things out, that it's almost Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type stuff, where they're weaving in storylines from other places into the main product now, instead of Vice. Like, before, they were doing it the other way around, where they were taking Raw angles and trying to put them into Total Divas. But, you know... Hey, it's a way to go. I'm still not going to watch that shit just for, you know, one angle.
Well, since you said it was only one angle, out to the ring comes Natalya. Saying, Nikki, I got to talk to you. Nikki Bella comes out. Carmella comes out. They go back and forth. Hey, I told you that in private. Blah, 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 blah. Natalya goes after Carmella. They go outside, go to the ring, blah, blah, blah. Natalya finally admits she's the one that's
attacked her
because she's royalty. Something like that. It's like her and her sister only got opportunities because they were good looking. While Natalya, you know, wasn't even on this, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, that's all right. That's a good place to stop. But no. To continue with the mean streak of this show this week, which, by the way, I am all for, Natalya said that Nikki has, well, she messed up. She goes, as beautiful as you are inside, well, you're beautiful outside as well, but as beautiful as you are, you have no charisma. She said that her cat, like Natalya's cat, has more charisma than her. She called Nikki a bitch twice. What the hell? Oh, and then she said she's a nothing, and that's why John would never marry her. And I just sat there going, what the fuck is going on tonight? Was there someone back there calling an audible saying, well, this crowd's a bunch of dicks, so go out there and just ham it up for them? And I hit up Shahid going, does Vince just go to bed on Monday and just be like, write whatever you want for SmackDown, I don't care. Because this would never fly on Raw. I mean...
Yeah, it does kind of fly under the radar. I'm not quite sure why. But it does.
I'm reading... Is it Jack Barnett? Jake Barnett from ProWrestling.net?
Uh-huh.
I'm using his as the template to make sure I'm going in order correctly.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of Natalya first? What did you think of that segment?
You know, it's kind of funny. I'm like, how is she not even healing it up right? Like, that was the one thing that I'm like, oh my god, like, I hate you all the time, and now I can just tell you're trying to force me to hate you. I'm like, oh my god, why does nothing come natural to you?
Yeah.
Like, she seemed bitchy when she wasn't trying to be, but now that she's trying to be, she doesn't.
That's a good call. Yeah, I didn't think of that, actually. I don't know, maybe I was just lost on the words. I mean, they're dropping bitch, they're talking about Renee Young sleeping with the champ and all this, it's like, what's going, what, who wrote this week? They should write every week, they should write Raw, too. But this Barnett guy just said, was basically just saying this was a train wreck.
Oh.
Yeah, you said train wreck coming. That was far from a train wreck. That was entertaining. A train wreck could be sitting there going, oh boy, this is not good. This is not good. I mean, even Nikki kind of took it in stride, like, ow, that really hurt, and then wanted to beat her up. It's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. So this is far from a train wreck. I've got to get tired of these motherfuckers. I'm not going to steal Shahid's line, but I'm going to use it. So just watch the damn show. That was good. Now, I'm with you on Natalya not understanding how to become a heel, but...
But yeah, outside of that, like, the content of her speech and the angle that they're going with, it can work, because I think she mentioned something about being, even before John, you just got handed stuff because of your good looks. So, like, she even qualified it correctly to make sense.
Well, and that second time, I don't know, I can't remember.
Like, even though I did kind of have to laugh, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like the third time that something's been screwed up this week. Because Foley screwing up Columbus, and I'm trying to think of what happened later in the show that someone had a pretty bad flub. Yeah, I can't remember. And then Natalya doing the inside out thing was pretty hilarious.
But it's still like. It's just not even worth it. It was good. Doesn't matter. So then we get Alexa Bliss and Daniel Bryan pointing out the fact that, hey, Alexa, you know, I can talk to the trainers too. And I'm like, where's this logic coming from? How dare you? How dare you make sense? It's just making Raw look really stupid.
Well, and that was kind of the funny thing. I'm like, okay, this makes complete sense. And then JBL's like, well, is Daniel Bryan a doctor? It's just like, he literally just said that he talked to the trainers.
Yeah.
Like, that's who's in charge of this stuff.
Yeah. All right. Then up next, Luke Harper continues to get dicked over and lost to Ambrose. Then The Miz came out. Well, Ambrose got attacked by the Wyatts, and then he got attacked by the Miz, which is fine. No sign of Renee Young, so that's good. Alexa Bliss fought La Luchadora, who, of course, everyone knew was going to turn out to be
Becky Lynch.
And that was fine.
But yeah, she did at least have me for a little bit, because I'm at least like, is this moveset a little bit different than her own? Because sometimes they make it so obvious with the moveset. It's just like, oh, she's doing some other stuff. And then she obviously went into the, armbar to finish her off. But
well, and here's the thing. The movesets were different, but also... That outfit was not flattering whatsoever. Because Becky Lynch is not a fat, obviously not a fat girl. She's not, a 40s middle-aged woman body. But that luchador outfit, sure, she gave her one. I mean, there were barely any curves. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. I would think that they padded that out some to make things look a little bit worse than normal.
Boy, but, I hope so.
Who knows?
Backstage, Ryan Phillippe is looking for Randy Orton, which makes sense. More logic.
Oh, yes. And, shocking logic.
And Mojo goes, well, he's a little different than the Randy you knew when you were filming. Oh, my God. Quit making sense. And then, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Mojo didn't come off bad.
I definitely do not have the hate for him that that Chris does.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of his either. I find him annoying as hell. But
well,
today I did not.
Yeah, I don't really disagree that he's annoying as hell. But I guess I just don't hate him just because of that.
Yeah. But no, he came off pretty good. He came off like just a guy who's trying to, you know, stick up for somebody who can't. I did like Curt Hawkins saying it was a match he's gonna end it with cruel intentions. Oh, and so he just looks at it and was like, ah, that's a good one. And I was like, I remember seeing that. Were you with us when we saw that in the theater?
No.
Oh, good for you. So that was not a good movie. Yeah, and then out of the blue, Mojo Rawley wins a singles match. And how painful was that kneecap moving for Zack Ryder?
Oh.
Ugh.
Yeah, that scar looked pretty. I saw him post some stuff, but I did not see that post in particular. And that scar looked pretty nasty.
Yeah. Okay. So, after all that mumbo jumbo's over, we still have the meanest part of the night. James Ellsworth comes out. Is it Dasha?
Dasha Fuentes.
Just grilling this poor man. And
just rubbing it in. Like, she was just rubbing salt in the many wounds of James Ellsworth.
I wrote to Shahid, I was like, why didn't she just ask, hey, James Ellsworth, how do you not go home and commit suicide tonight? I mean, it was... And then, of all people, Carmella comes up to help him out? So I'm like, well, now I'm intrigued. Like, god damn, this show's really good. I
can't really disagree with your assessment. It's just like, huh? You said, like, it was just like, okay, this is different. I mean, even if he comes back as her slave, I don't care. Whatever, that guy needs to fulfill his contract somehow.
I think he's probably... I don't know what it says about Carmella right now, but I think he's probably going to go the way that he should and just be down. And I've said this on every time I mention the guy, I don't prejudge him one second. I mean, good for this guy. Get your paycheck. He obviously has a sense of humor stuff because everyone keeps messing about him about not having a chin. So, but then after that, I asked you this about Apollo Crews, but this wasn't that bad, right? Him and Ziggler?
Oh, Corbin and Ziggler? Yeah. It's pretty strange that those two guys have had a bunch of matches, and I would not say that any of them ran smoothly. For whatever reason, things went smooth tonight. Like, it was a really good matchup. And the story made sense. Like, the thing that made the least amount of sense is AJ Styles being that scared of Baron Corbin, who hasn't done anything.
Yeah, but I think most of the effort was, you know, they're trying to build Baron into something.
Yeah.
So I get that. And I guess it was kind of nice that AJ, because he's been dismissing just about everybody he wrestles. So it was kind of nice that he actually, you know, besides John, well, even John Cena, you know?
Yeah, he kind of dismissed him in his yeah. own way.
And John Cena still hasn't admitted that AJ Styles is the better man. Just to make sure everyone knows that. But I'm not going to say this match was excellent or great or anything. It was good, but
yo,
good is a better outcome than their other matches.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Hey, if we it was the best matchup I've seen Corbin in.
Yeah, that's true.
Hands down. Like, it doesn't need to be 5 stars. Like, if you're improving, you're improving. And that's a good thing. I mean, because, again, like, you kind of know what you have with Ziggler. Like, there's not going to be probably anything new unless he goes all broken Matt Hardy on us. Which, you know, I don't foresee happening.
No.
But, you know, I'm just saying.
Scary thought, a WWE ripoff of the broken Matt Hardy stuff.
Oof. Yeah, well, and I'm not even meaning a direct ripoff, but I mean, he'd need to do something that's that innovative or that different from his character to whip up any kind of interest.
But, so it's, and then Daniel Bryan comes out and sets up next week, which goes against what you said with Raw. Raw hasn't set up anything. SmackDown has set up a big show for next week.
Oh.
You have the triple threats. You have the triple threat match and you have the return of John Cena. Whereas Raw has... Yep. Raw's got something. I don't know.
Maybe well, and you also have the official Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss match.
Oh yeah, that's next week as well too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they hyped that also.
So... How can one show have their shit together so well and the other one just be an absolute mess with arguably bigger and more recognizable talent?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird. It's just like when they did the brand split last time. SmackDown started being the better show.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like I said, like Raw had some good shows strung together there, but, you know... It's definitely one bad show, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, in general, SmackDown has still won the battle. So yeah. SmackDown had a down couple of 2-3 weeks, and now they're back in the saddle.
it's weird times, man. It's so funny how utterly bad Raw was, and just ridiculously good SmackDown was. And I want to see SmackDown again. I want to see that show next week. Where Raw, their bowl game's on next week, right? No. I'm ahead of myself already. Never mind.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure there are. But just like the Boca Raton Bowl that was on, who cares? So.
Right.
So, yeah. So, that's what you get for not going to SmackDown. When it's only 30 minutes away and tickets aren't sold out. So,
yeah,
you don't get to go see a good show and you don't get on the show to talk about it. So what's the lesson we learned here, boys and girls?
Always go to live shows.
Yep.
Guaranteed appearance on the show.
Yeah. No, oh God, I was supposed to go to, I wanted to go, but that PWX show.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Hardy was supposed to be at here.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone had a little too much fun Saturday night. No, actually starting all day Saturday, someone had too much fun, so that didn't happen. Makes you reevaluate things, that's for sure. So. And I'm guessing we're, like, way over on time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I figured. Like, it's a bonus Christmas episode, how's that?
Yeah.
So you get extra snow.
I mean, that's what happens when you end up having that kind of contradiction in shows. Like it blew by. So
yep.
I will do my usual at DeFrango 11, at Granny Maze for the other one. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Grandkids, have a good night.